brilliant late goal. What a game. Great win. Liverpool 4, Bournemouth 2.
Steve Hunter there, summing up a breathless opening day at Anfield. I'm Mark Benstead, and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from Virgil van Dijk and Fede Chiesa, but we'll begin with the thoughts of former Reds Phil Thompson and Jason McAteer, who joined me for LFC TV's post-match show. We've just about caught our breath after what was a sensational 90 minutes of football. They started putting us through the ringer from day one of this season. Arne Slot subs didn't seem to be working, but then on the 88th minute, Federico Chiesa gets his first Premier League goal. The noise inside this place was incredible. Another goal to come from Mohamed Salah, and then the emotion from him at the full-time whistle, in tears as he applauded the cop as well. Not quite in tears, but still emotional. Phil Thompson and Jason McAteer are with me in front of the cop to reflect on what we've seen. Reaction to come as well over the course of the next hour from inside the Liverpool dressing room. Wow, what an ending. I said at the start of the show, Jason, that we don't know what comes next. Strap yourself in. Blinking heck. Up and running in some fashion tonight. Can you put into words your immediate reaction to what we've seen here?
I think for the neutral, it was a fantastic game of football, wasn't it? I think for Liverpool fans, emotions were all over the place at certain points in the game. I don't think 4-2 reflects really the story of the performance of Liverpool tonight. I think they were very good in spells, poor in others. And I would probably say, on reflection, they probably got away with one. You know, I think if you look at the first half, they could have gone in 2-1, easily gone in 2-1 down. Second half, they start really, really well. They're on top for 10 or 15 minutes. Gakpo gets the goal. It gets us going again. Gets us a 2-0. And then take the foot off the gas. They let Bournemouth back into it. They score two really good goals. Quick succession. It goes to 2-2. And then the manager, Slot, makes a couple of substitutions that raised a few eyebrows at the time. Felt he got them wrong at times. And then it's a last-minute winner by Chiesa to send the roof off. Off Anfield, and then Salah gets obviously his goal, his 4-2, his customary first game goal, and then we run out 4-2 winners.
Well, it wasn't winning by one goal, was it? We had a thought after what Arne Slot said in the press about us winning 9 games, was it, by one goal? I was thinking, well, here we go again. But it was quite emotional. I'm with Jason in a little bit. There was a lot of good stuff. There was a lot of poor stuff. So it was a bit of a roller coaster, but my goodness, this place, just that magic happens, doesn't it? It's like, God bless him, Diogo was sucking that one in to help the boys along, and you could feel that emotion. There was so much happened late on in that game, and it all ends with Mo Salah just standing there, emotion dripping from him, applauding the cop applauding the back and singing Diogo's song. It was wonderful. And the game itself, I agree with Chase, we got away with one there, but that's what we do.
We see the pictures now of Mo at the full-time whistle in front of the cop, just what, 20 metres from where we're stood just now. I said to Jason, as we were watching all of this and as we were making our way around pitchside, Tomo, it's one of the most emotional and vociferous full times for an opening day game, start of the season against Bournemouth. Everything kind of pulled into it to make it an incredible atmosphere, didn't it, in the end? It was quite special.
We're trying to explain to people what Jason and myself, nobody's ever experienced a fellow player, a fellow mate that has that. And you can see the emotion in Mo, tearful. How are these guys reacting to that? We've got to give a little bit of leeway in when we see some of these things, like emotionally draining can be bad. And I think the boys are going through experiences at different times, winning that, it coming back to everybody. And Mo just wanted to share it with the crowd of what had just happened. He scored again on opening day. And you're just going, there's so much that's happened throughout the game, them playing so ever well to come back into it. But the emotion that this place generates is beyond compare. And it just keeps happening. You see what? I don't think Mo ever planned that, to do that. Maybe his goal helped him sort of link himself with the crowd to remember Diogo. And I just thought it was a fantastic moment. A moment, we've had some great ones. but will be forever in our hearts when we go for years and years to come.
I think there was a real shock factor, wasn't there, when the news broke. A lot of people didn't really know how to deal with it and how to deal with the emotion of it. And certainly with inside the football club, it's very alien to the players. Tomo's just touched on it there. We had a conversation over lunch, about 10 or 12 of us. We've never been in that situation, never. And like I said, they go away. And I think now, the enormity of what's happened has obviously sunk in. And it's going to take its toll at some point. And, tonight, as much as we spoke off air, Tomo's laid flowers, Rushy done it at Wembley at the weekend. There has been moments when we've acknowledged the tragedy and the passing of the two boys. And then tonight, I just felt it was always going to be that build-up to tonight, because it was the first game. There's enormity to that as it comes anyway, a first game. It was at Anfield, it was under the lights, it was Friday night. And then, we're showing our respect and paying our sympathies to the family and what's gone on and the players. It must have got to them at some point. I mean, they do the minute silence, which was impeccable. The fans played their part. And like Tomo said, there was this extra, you just felt it in the atmosphere. It's just non-stop, wasn't it? And you just felt it 2-2. It's like, come on, boys, just do it. Just do it for them.
It was, again, there's so much to kind of unpack in just a moment in football terms across the game. We then had this huge outpouring of emotion at the end of the game. But the point that got us to that was an unlikely hero as well. Fede Chiesa, a man on the periphery who's been a popular player here but hasn't been able to make a consistent impact, steps up and delivers when needed. And again,
I said Divock Origi. Divock was one of those people which people could link to, and everybody loved him in the dressing room. He didn't sort of put anybody's nose out of joint trying to get a place or do, but he delivered massive goals at big times. And Chiesa seems that sort of boy. He's got his own song by not doing sort of playing a great deal, and there's an emotion between the fans and him, and he delivers on this day of all days with a minute remaining on the clock. It's just, honestly, it's incredible. So there's a link, like Diogo, like Divock. It was a great finish, because it was a pressure finish.
It was a great finish, but a massively important one as well. Because we spoke a few moments ago and said, look, there's some very good stuff tonight, but also some poor stuff. You both said it, kind of got away with one a little bit, because Bournemouth were very good, especially when you take into consideration all the issues they've had in terms of losing players over the course of the summer. So that could be really important, because it changes the mood going out of this place. If we drop points tonight, flattens everyone starts to be despondent game one. But to win, and to win in that fashion, Jason, you can't kind of quantify just how big that can be.
No, of course it can be, yeah. I mean, I've said, pre-show, didn't I? I don't really look into first games. A lot of things happen like this. You'll see that over the course of the weekend. I'll give it 3, 4, 5 games in and things start panning out and stuff. But you're right. I mean, they'll go into that dressing room. They'll feel relieved. There'll be a lot of outpouring of emotion, I'm sure, in that dressing room. The manner in which they won is always great. But you can't keep winning like that. You've got to be in control of the game, especially at Anfield. This is the foundation of any success of league titles. They win here, and that's their fortress. You can't keep getting away with performances like that and nicking wins.
It reminded me of the Leeds game, the opening game played Leeds. Was it 4-3? Yeah. It was very much, it ebbed and flowed, and you were thinking, oh my goodness, this is what can happen at Anfield. But it was, you felt the game drifting from us, and it took something special to actually win it. And they played exceptionally well. You look at what they brought to the game. They were brave. But whereas we, because of Diogo, it was an emotional thing. They could relax. Nobody's expecting anything of them. Hey, boys, let's go out there. We can play and we can do it. Let's just go. So they were comfortable with each other in how they were going to play. And they showed. They seemed a bit more relaxed than what we were.
If you look at the match stats from the game today, 3 big chances for each of the sides. Liverpool with more of the ball, more shots in total, 10 of those on target of the 19 they had. And for Bournemouth, they scored from 2 of the 3 shots on target. Liverpool on face value dominating aspects of the game, but that threat from Bournemouth was there, particularly as the game wore on, especially on the break. They were very good at picking us off at times, Jason, when we were a little bit too gung-ho. We threw too many players forward, a bit cavalier at times.
Yeah, Liverpool started well, and you felt that they'd got the goal. It might have been a different storyline to the night, mightn't it? But they didn't, and you know, Bournemouth were resilient. They defended well. They worked themselves, a bit like Crystal Palace, they worked themselves into the game. And then created two really, really good opportunities. Semedo early on should have scored. You know, it was flashed across the box. You felt of his a player of his quality, he might have should have hit the target. Then they get another opportunity and sets the alarm bells ringing. Then Liverpool score in a really good time. It was 35, 36 minutes gone, wasn't it? Really good time just before half time. They go in 1-0 and they come out second half. And I felt whatever was said to them, they had the bit between the teeth. The passing was crisp, it was sharp. The crowd, they lifted the crowd. They give the crowd something to cheer about. Gapo then comes alive, doesn't he? Gets the goal, Liverpool 2-0 up. You felt, go on, go and get a third, go and get a fourth. Just enjoy the night then, enjoy the last 25 minutes. Make it a bit of a celebration, but it wasn't to be. And that resilience, the honesty and the hard work of Bournemouth paid off. And Tom was right, they deserve credit. They deserve something out the game, to be honest.
I thought, you know, we spoke about tiredness after about an hour in the games. It felt that today. The substitutions were made after exactly 60 minutes. And I thought it was a little bit early. They were strange substitutions. And I thought it took it away. But I think it was saying that the players looked as though physically they were drained. And it looked, and you were looking, I was looking at Wirtz, and I was thinking, he looks, and it looked like that was cramp when he went down, when he got fouled. So the fitness levels of the boys just doesn't seem quite right. So to get a win out of that, when you were sort of, the game was drifting away from you, it is massive. Because you imagine going into the Newcastle game and we've already dropped 2 points at home. It would have been massive. But the emotion will be there, but the joy will be there from getting the win.
You saw the joy and the relief from Arne Slot, the celebration from him and his coaching staff. Massive, absolutely huge when that goal went in, and at the full-time whistle as well. We should sort of talk through the goals. In the summer, so much excitement about the new additions, and obviously, naturally, as fans and as spectators on the side, we kind of watch on, try and see how the new boys are doing. It is Hugo Ekitike who is catching the eye at the moment. He's looked very bright in the two matches so far, and he's up and running in terms of goals again.
Isn't the talent that comes in and the price tag that comes with them, I think there's an expectation that sometimes you think they're just going to hit the ground running. We spoke about it pre-show, you know, it's about building relationships, knowing where each other is on the pitch, and that takes time, you know, to build them, to know where each other is, to play off each other, to drop in when he hasn't got the ball. You know, it's not just the defenders. The forward players have to learn relationships as well. And, you know, sometimes we take it for granted because they have a price tag, because they've got a name in the game, like Wirtz done so well in Germany, he's just going to slot in. It doesn't quite work like that sometimes. You've got to create an identity. And plus, we've tweaked the formation. We've tweaked the tactics. You know, we're not 4-3-3 anymore. We're 4-2-3-1. You know, we're playing with an out-and-out striker now, which we haven't done, you know, with Firmino's played there and Nunes in and out. But, you know, he does play the central line. He likes to run in behind. And, yeah, you know, he gets his goal tonight. But again, when it's not going well for Liverpool, he can become anonymous. You know, he needs to maybe just work harder a little bit off the ball and stuff. But, you know, all these things will come. These are really, really good players, and it will eventually come, the identity and the fluidity. That will all come in time, but we've just got to keep winning games.
We go on and we talk about sort of, we're saying about Chiesa with Divock, but we took his goal was very Suarez like, nicking, getting a rebound, because they're not going to score from the edge of their own box, and he just gets a little toe to it, it gets a rebound off him and falls for it. But that's what you've got to do up there. They're not going to score, so take a chance, take a risk, and it falls for him. But I tell you what, the finish was still good, because the keeper sells himself to his right and he puts it to the other side. He was good composure with him.
Yeah, 2-2 for him. He also played a hand in Cody Gakpo's goal tonight. And sometimes you get focused on the new players, you forget about the quality of the existing squad at times. And Cody Gakpo again, stepping in from that left-hand side, having the ability to delay the shot on the edge of the box and score a goal that we've seen him do so many times.
Yeah.
Just a really important strike by him again tonight.
It was important that we scored at that time as well, because we were on top. Like I said, we come out second half, we were at it. You know, it was one touch, two touch, the ball was zipping, it was going from side to side, they were creating opportunities. And it kind of, I felt the goal epitomised where we were with the crowd and the energy. He kind of picked it up. It was like he had an extra spring in his step, and he went again. And then it created the opening, and he took it, he just slotted it really, really well. But yeah, again, you know, 2-0, you think all of a sudden, you know, it's going to be third and then a fourth. You've got to give credit to Bournemouth's resilience and, like I said, honesty to get back into the game.
To go to two down here on such a night, you know, a lot of teams will lay down. That's why I'm saying you have to give them credit for just to have that energy. Maybe it's because nothing's expected of them. We dropped a bit, as I said, but then they picked it up. They sensed something, particularly defensively tonight. I think we were a little bit too open, not switched on at all. And you felt as though, I think we said at half-time, Mark, I felt like they weren't out of the game. At the 1-0 at half-time, you felt, they felt that they could get a goal. And get a goal they did to make it 2-1, and I think that rattled us completely.
We spoke pretty much about the defensive players they lost over the summer. We also pointed out the fact they kept hold of Antoine Semenyo, who was one of their star turns last campaign.
Played well tonight.
Underlines his value. He's been 14 goals last season, 2 goals tonight, albeit we've played a hand in them to a point, especially the first one. But you can't take away from his impact and a constant threat through the course of the match this evening.
Yeah, and I'm sure there was a conversation had with Iriola and the board and sporting director. Listen, you've got to give me something, you know, and I think if he's going to look at them all, the players, you know, he's the one that can create something out of nothing, isn't he? He reminds me of like an Elise or a Zaha, you know, he gets on the ball, he creates something, he's got a trick, he's got pace, he's strong. And he can deliver a pass and he can also score a goal. I mean, he'd be really disappointed. I mentioned before the quality that he's got to miss the target with the opportunity they created in the first half. But he was always a threat. And if you got him on the ball, you know, he was going to create something. The disappointment from a Liverpool aspect was the goals were quite similar to what we've been conceding in pre-season, certainly the second one. And I don't want to be critical. I don't like, you know, being criticising players. But I thought Joe Gomez, for an experienced player like Joe is, it's a really poor run. You know, he's got Salah one-on-one.
Too advanced at the time.
He's got Salah one-on-one, you leave him. You know, as a fullback, you just support. You stay behind him, and if Salah gets stood up, you're there to roll it back and put the ball in. He makes a run on the inside. He actually takes a man into Salah's path. He then gets played out the game himself by the run he's made. Salah then loses the ball. They go on the break, and it was a 4-on-2, wasn't it? And they almost messed the chance up. But he made amends and he creates the opportunity.
Semenyo's a good player. I was surprised. I thought he would be the first one leaving Bournemouth. Never mind all the other players that they lost. And it wasn't just his ability to play on the ball. It was his attitude. He wanted a battle with Kerkez. Every goal kick come his way. And he challenged for every single ball with Kerkez. And Kerkez must be thinking, well, you give up your winger. You're not supposed to compete with me like this.
He'll know him as well. Well, oh, absolutely. Because
and maybe they've said, look, put him down there. Yeah. Because, you know, Semenyo, he's decent in the air. And you're getting all the flick-ons and getting just bits from it. And I think they played on that, but he kept on doing it and kept on going all the time. Just his attitude was so impressionable.
From the defensive side of things, I think the first goal, I think Robbo and Virgil probably look at it and say, well, we've been caught on the blind side. He's got behind us for the first goal. And they look at that and think we need to be better. You mentioned Joe in the second goal, albeit he's not played a lot of football recently, and he's been thrown into this. Yeah, it's a difficult game to come on to.
I don't think his decision making of not playing football is made him accountable for what he did. I just think it was a poor decision.
I get you, Jace, what you're saying, but most pass, it's square and it's cut about 6 players out of the game, and then we're all chasing back. You'd think it's 4v2, so surely there's more players than Joe Gomez out of position.
It's reminiscent, Tomo, of the goals we conceded against Milan. You know, I think one of the Palace goals was the same. We keep conceding this in the same manner. Mm. It's like it's a ball into that midfield, gets through, breaks the lines, and then all of a sudden it's pace. And pacing behind us is catching us out right now. It's a cause for concern.
Can we take a moment just to appreciate how fast Menu's gone with it to finish it? I just thought, you know,
I know
it's 4-on-2, and I know they almost kind of stood, but I thought he did quite well to carry that far and apply a finish. Because obviously sometimes in that situation, there's a big expectation, and then they don't put it away.
I tell you, if he hadn't scored, the manager would have said something to him in that dressing room. He had options, and he chose.
Yeah, options, but he's probably, looking at the game, the most confident one out of them. Maybe he's looked at them and gone, I'm going to do this myself because I haven't got great trust in anybody else. So, it is. It happens, doesn't it, in the game. But he was decent tonight, Semenyo. He might be gone now before the transfer window ends.
Of course, the window's still open.
On the subject of Antoine Semenyo, we should also just point out the kind of unsavoury element from the game tonight regarding him. People will probably be aware by now that there was a point in the first half where the referee brought both managers together, along with a member of the staff here, to discuss something that had occurred. Liverpool have now put out a statement in relation to that moment. It reads as follows. Liverpool Football Club is aware of an allegation of racist abuse made during our Premier League game against Bournemouth. We condemn racism and discrimination in all forms. It has no place in society or football. The club is unable to comment further as tonight's alleged incident is the subject of an ongoing police investigation, which we will support fully. Okay, so that is the statement from the club in relation to the allegation of a racist incident during tonight's match. We'll obviously keep you abreast of any developments with that as and when they happen. Let's return to the football now and hear from Virgil van Dijk, who's speaking with Peter McDowell.
Skip, well done tonight. It was dramatic, but the champions start with a win.
We start with a win. I think a lot of good things, good moments, with and without the ball. Fortunately, we conceded two goals on the break, where we should have done better overall. But under the circumstances, the emotional night for all of us, first game of the season against a team that will never give up, well known for it, in my opinion, with a great manager. We managed to get the 3 points, and we have a lot of days to work this next upcoming week to be ready for the next game.
You set such high standards. You're all perfectionists in that team. It's why you did what you did and what you continue to do. Four debuts, though, tonight. It's going to take that period of time, isn't it, for that balance to come?
Yeah, absolutely normal. You know, I'm pleased with the performance of those guys. I think they were all tired towards the moment where they got subbed. That's absolutely normal. The Premier League is the hardest league in the world. The demands are so high, and just have to get used to it. And I think the guys will do perfectly so. So time for them to recover. And like I said, we have plenty of days now to prepare for Newcastle, and then we have to be ready because it's going to be tough there.
When it goes to 2-2, and we saw that the manager give Federico Chiesa the nod, he contributed last season in key moments, didn't he? But to get that moment in front of the cop would have meant so much to him.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he works so hard, he's a great character, we all love him. And very pleased for him, especially on a night like this, where there's so many things in everyone's mind, because I can't escape that, and I'm pleased for him, pleased for the team. Managed to get the 3 points, and now we work and move on.
You were all joined in that emotion tonight, weren't you? The minute silence before the game, the reaction at the end, everybody together, which is what you've always called for as Liverpool captain.
For sure. I think nobody should underestimate what's going on, and we are there for each other, with the players, with the staff, but we need all of our fans as well in order to get us through everything. Let's give it everything and give it a go, and enjoy the ride as well, because we are very privileged and blessed, like we all know.
Well done, mate.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Skip.
Enjoy the ride, we do, but blinking heck, it's hard work sometimes watching from the sidelines. At the top of that, Tom, he spoke about the fact, look, only natural that it takes a bit of time for relationships to bed in, for things to smooth out. On all the points Jason mentioned earlier, very valid. New players, new system to a point, adaptation.
He's saying exactly what we've been talking about, and it is, he knows we got away with it. He can't sort of come out with those exact words, we got away with one, but you feel it, you sense it, there's still a lot of work to be done. Those players, Frimpong especially, and Kerkez, it's sort of, they've got to sort of work a little bit harder. Both of them were caught in between at times, knowing whether to go forward or sit back. As we spoke about earlier, Frimpong's never going to drift inside and play an inverted fullback. He's wanting to go outside, so that's a learn in process. Same as Kerkez as well. He's wanting a sort of battle and a fight. A bit sort of over-anxious, and he gets a yellow card. But it's learning as... when you've got those players, two of your back four, and you've got to work and get to understand each other, not only defensively, but offensively as well.
I just wonder, when you were on the coaching...
Just to touch on that. If you look at Liverpool, sitting under Jürgen Klopp, you know, we had two of the best fullbacks in the world playing in this team. It was so creative, you know, creating umpteen opportunities, assists,
goals as well. They chipped in with their own goals, lots of quality coming down. They were a crucial part of the way we played, and we've lost them two fullbacks, you know, one to age probably, and Robbo, and obviously Trent. But, you know, they're two really impactful areas of the football pitch, and we've got two brand new players playing there. So it is going to take time for, you know, them to learn the culture of the club, you know, who they play for, the expectations. You know, we spoke about all that before the game. But also, you know, when they're on the pitch, in the relationship they have with Konate on one side and Virgil on the other, you know, and the keeper, you know, and then the players in front of them. So it's going to take time. It's a crucial area of the football pitch, fullbacks. It always has been, and we've always had good quality ones that have bettered in really well.
The better ones
time.
Now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well,
some Roby ones in the 90s.
Quicker.
In terms of your time here, Tom, when you were on the staff with Gerard, I just wonder, you know, you had, casting my mind back, transfer windows where you brought in quite a lot of players, maybe four or five off the top of my head.
It was seven.
There's a big one. I think
we had two windows where we had, Sammy Hupia, Stefan Encho, Vladimir Smicer. I think there was a couple on Titi Kamara, sure, I think was one of them. But we had seven anyway.
So I just wondered, in that process, did you have discussions about how many to put in at once, or acknowledging the fact that you have to work on those relationships?
Did you have a philosophy, Tomo?
We had a philosophy because there were certain players that weren't good enough. No. No,
how did you get the deadwood out?
No, but the big thing about it was the centre-backs. Yeah. We knew we needed the centre-backs, and we felt we did very well for, I think Stefan was 3.5 million, Sammy was 2.5 million. And the two of them gelled. The pair of them didn't have great pace, so trying to get them to push up was a difficult one, working with them. But you had to do that. That's the way we played. But no sooner they pushed up, they wanted to back off. And the two of them like defending deeper. And sometimes you can't get out as much as you work hard. But two centre-backs knew it does take a little bit, and you do have to sort of work with them. But we had to deal with them. We didn't have an option at the time.
But how many of the new signings went into the first team?
Sammy and Stefan straight away.
So just like, two, really?
We actually bought Sammy, and we thought, well, Sammy would be good at 2.5 million. But Sammy was that good. The way he started pre-season and everything, he literally said, I'm your playing starter. And he was like that throughout. So we knew that was a massive area for us, central defence, particularly somebody who was dominant in the air. We felt like we could not. We were frightened every time we had a defensive set play. So that position was very, very important. And as Jason just said now, it's because of maybe circumstances. Robbo may be on the wrong side of his age, and maybe they're looking for the next one. As Kerkez has come in, and Frimpong. Not only, the two of them are very offensive, but sometimes, what are you going to do defensively? Where are you going to tuck in? And early on, I'm looking at Ibu, and Ibu's a bit nervous. And he's made, like, in the first 15 minutes, three big errors. And is that because he's unsure where Jeremy is, and he's sort of, you know, what's going to happen here? Because it depends how far he's pulling back, if you're going to give him a good ball to his feet. And is he a little bit hiding a little bit? And then, because I don't think I've seen it. He was like Joel Matip tonight, Ibu. He's running with the ball, and everybody says, isn't that good? But sometimes, because there's nothing else on, so you end up running with it and then running down a blind
alley. You know what else as well, Tom? I think we need to take into account the game's so diverse now. If you look at all the players that have come in from all different nationalities, English is not their native tongue. Mm-hmm. They all speak different languages, and, you know, in the heat of a moment, I don't know what comes out your mouth. I mean, for us, you know, we
English
communicate.
Is pretty good these days.
No, yeah, it is pretty good. And I'm not making excuses, but what I'm saying is, you know, communication is a battle as well.
Nah, it's relationships, communication is important,
yeah,
especially at the back of it.
It doesn't roll off your tongue. Like when we were playing, we all spoke the same language. We, like, you know, you could hear Cara screaming. You know, there was lots of leaders on the pitch when we played. Mm. And it was like with Tomo, every one of them was a leader. Now there's not a lot of leaders in that team. There's not a lot of vocal players, and we've had them over the years. With, you know, Jordan Henderson, very vocal.
Millie,
vocal. There's not many in that team now who are that vocal.
We do have Virgil van Dijk, who is that linchpin at the back, isn't he, Tom? And you think in this bedding in period, he'll have a really important role to play, both in terms of his own performance, which you always kind of count on, but also in terms of marshalling those around him and leading the team through this sort of transition.
I said before the game about when Virgil gets a ball, when Robbo was there, a lot of the time he'd zip that ball in, I'm watching and he zips it in. Sometimes with Milos, as the ball's coming to him, it's not particularly at Wembley last week. It should be going forward quicker, because you go a couple of yards and that sort of attacker goes, nah, I'm not going there. You stop it and he'll get back another 5 yards. So it's that ball and knowing that you're going to get a good pass off him, go forward first, at least another 5 yards, and now we're more offensive and getting that game. And I think on the other side, it'll be the same with Ibu and Jeremy. So you have to work at that and understand what's expected of you playing with these. And Virgil, he'll be pointing that out in maybe team meetings.
I knew where Mark Wright was all the time. You know, when I was playing, obviously I was playing wing-back.
But he didn't have a clue where you were.
He struggled realising that I'd... No. But you cycle these relationships and, you know, you become confident in each other. He knows when you move.
It does take a bit of time.
It does take time. Yeah,
13 headed clearances. I'll say again. 13 headed clearances by Virgil van Dijk today in terms of his own individual performance and the challenges that Bournemouth presented us with as a team today.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Alexis McAllister.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Reds, the new Adidas Liverpool FC 25-26 season home and away kits are out now.
You can also shop the new Adidas LFC training range.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
You'll never walk alone.
Get the thoughts of Fede Chiesa on his goal this evening and his performance and impact from the bench. He's with Pete.
Well, Fede, huge congratulations. Thank you. The moment you've been waiting for.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a great goal. It was really emotional today. It was really emotional. And after I scored, my thought went to Diogo, to Andre, and to his family that was here today. And it was really emotional, but the goal was for him.
It was seemingly everybody that scored tonight dedicated their thoughts to him with the celebrations amongst the fans.
Yeah, in my mind I think that Diogo was somewhere in here like helping me to score this goal. I'd like to think it like that, you know. He's always with us, he's going to be with us. And it was tough today, but there was a great atmosphere. The fans were amazing throughout the game, and nothing. I'm really grateful for the song they're singing, nothing. Yeah, really, really emotional.
I think we forget sometimes how tough it is for the boys to be part of this tonight. But where the game goes, Fede, and going 2-0 up. Dominance, and then it goes to 2-2, and you have to find a way to win the game twice.
Yeah, we showed that last year we deserved to be champions. We showed character, we showed determination, and you know, every game in the Premier League is not finished until the ref blows the whistle. So we have to be more concentrated. Above all, I think because we had the game in hand. And we could have, you know, shown a bit more, I would say maturity, but pass me this word in English, but it's not what I want to say. I want to say another way. But a bit more concentration, because I think we played a really good game, and Bournemouth, you know, had these two chances in counter-attack, I guess. So at the end, we had to score two goals, but we need to improve before. We don't need to arrive, you know, at the end that we need to get two goals to win a game. And but I think at the end of the day, we showed why we were champions last year. And, you know, we have players that can come in and get us over the hurdle, you know, and get us the win.
You're settling new players in, four debuts tonight, but you've been around this pitcher now for long enough to know that when you're in the penalty area, a chance will come along for you, and you managed to put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, above all at Anfield, it seems like in the second half when you attack the cup, you know, you attack towards the cup, feels like the ball wants to go inside, you know, the net. And and today I want to think that we had also the help of Diogo and his brother up there.
Just one final one on the the love that the fans have for you here, the song you mentioned there before, the noise when you come on the pitch as well. It's a mutual thing. You love them too, don't you?
No, I love the club. I think I'm playing for one of the best clubs in the world. And I feel the passion of the fans. I feel the energy. Playing at Anfield is mesmerizing. Yeah. Is it ever mesmerizing? Yeah. It's just incredible. And I'm so happy to be here.
Thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you.
See, he knows the word mesmerizing.
Mesmerizing.
Well, does he?
Yeah. Fluent. What a great... I love moments like this. A player who doesn't get a lot of minutes just through other players' form more than anything else, but somehow builds a connection with the fan base and is able to make contributions along the journey. And in Freddie's case, comes on tonight, does so, and you see the smile on his face, how in the thick of everything. It's just I love moments like that within football.
His body language is always great, isn't it? Like he has no expectation probably of starting week in, week out. You know, inside he probably is disappointing, of course. He's a professional footballer and he wants to play. But I think he knows what's ahead of him and it's difficult to get in the team, and he accepts that. And you don't ever hear him bad-mouthing anybody or knocking on the manager's door or being a problem. And then when he comes on, his body language is always great and he always contributes. And I just felt tonight, under the circumstances that we're all under here, the narrative was kind of painted, wasn't it, for kind of a sub to come on like Diogo and then to go and score the winner. I know it was 4-2, but he got the all-important third goal. And it was very reminiscent of something Diogo would do. We've seen him do it time and time again, didn't we? Score big goals, coming on as a sub, you know, at Anfield and lifting everyone off the seats. And the narrative was just that, wasn't it?
The fans here can appreciate somebody who they come on and they know at times, because he's been a great player. He's been a wonderful, just saying about him, playing for the national team and how good he was. You know, when he was a 70, 80 million pound player and we got him for 10, but he told you that he'd had an injury. So it's been difficult for him, but he's never moaned. You see his attitude and what a good lad he is. And then for you to do that and be able to sort of be with the boys throughout his journey here, you know, just the celebrations of last season, the Spurs game, you know, the last game against Palace, was wondering his name billowing out. And he's not a regular, but that shows how you can create a bond with the fans of this football club. And for you to have your own song like you do, for not being sort of one of the main players, I think he should be absolutely delighted.
I've not had a chance to check the stats, but there've been a lot of games when he's been an unused sub, had to sit on the bench, not get on. And you both pointed to it, his attitude is always spot on. You saw him down tonight, warming up, going through the process you have to do before being ready to come on. And he gets the nod, he gets that opportunity, he delivers. And also, it's a pretty good finish.
That was a great finish. I mean, I was talking to Tom about it when we were having a coffee just at the end of the game. You know, it gets headed out and he anticipates it's going that way. And then it takes a slight deflection, but it kind of buys him the space to get the volley away. And his technique was fantastic. And then obviously, you know, it dives into the back of the net. But
that can go anywhere. You've seen it, Jace. Because of the nerves, because of the situation, you know it might not come. And I know most scores after it, but you don't know that. So you've got to make sure you make a decent contact. And maybe his experience of what he's had, he delivers it, he gets enough of his body over the ball to put it in that side. And the relief from the whole of the stadium was sensational. And we were delighted for him. Absolutely. Couldn't be a nicer fella. And he's the one who gets the goal. Most goals and that attachment that Mo's had for many years. But for Freddy, it's totally different. He's not been here that long. He's not played that long. And he knows that. But he's always determined. He always comes on and he always puts that extra effort in.
As a sub, you don't get many moments sometimes when you come on. He got 6 touches after coming onto the pitch and he scored one of them. So that is about taking your opportunities when they're in front of you. He scored the most important goal. That was the goal that was decisive. But Mohamed Salah then went on to just give us a little bit of breathing room and get his obligatory opening fixture strike. What did you make of his overall contribution and I guess the role he's got within the team moving forward, because he's still kind of the talismanic figure, isn't he, within the group?
Yeah, and we talked about match winners, didn't we? We talked about Semedo for Bournemouth. You know, for us, you know, we can turn a game on its head, can't he, in an instant. He can produce a moment of magic out of nothing. And, you know, there are spells in the game where he can be frustrating and he can be anonymous. But if you get him one-on-one, you know, there's always that opportunity of him creating something. Tonight, he doesn't ever shirk his responsibilities, Mo. You never see him, like, when he's not in the game. Again, body language. You don't see him like sort of throw his toys out the pram or he sulks and that. He's always available. He's always wanting to do something. Sometimes the game's just not flowing where it goes to him, and he can be anonymous and not touch the ball for a while. But then, you know, he goes and gets his goal, doesn't he? And it's, you know, I think it was a bit of a moment of relief, wasn't it? Because I think we all wanted him to score. Yeah. Just continue. Like, what is it, 9 now?
Well, let's update the graphic and fire it onto the screen. Let's just underline how prolific he is on the opening games of Premier League seasons. There you go. 10 goals in 9 match day 1 appearances. Not too shabby. We said he likes the sort of spotlight, the occasion, the focus sometimes, and he tends to deliver, and that was the case, albeit it was late today.
There was a couple of times when you felt he could have assisted somebody, but he took the opportunity, the selfish opportunity. But he's a striker, for goodness sake. None of us can deny him and go, oh my goodness, because you know what he's going to do. He could have scored one of the sort of great goals, did what he did in that first half, cut inside, left foot bender, yeah. And the keeper makes an absolute worldie to keep it out, and that was sort of quite early. That was after about 10 minutes of the game. But I thought he played he's much happier playing against the back four, playing against the back five, as he did in the Community Shield. I don't think he ever likes that, because the fullback just literally, they stand on him now. And I think he finds that very odd. And I don't know how many times they alluded to how many touches that he had in that game. But I thought he was very good. And he was, yes, he could have been better. Yes, he could have been probably worse. So I think he's contributed vastly again.
The new Adidas Liverpool FC 25-26 season home and away kits are out now. Buy them today at your official LFC stores, online and on the official LFC store app.
Let's just get a final thought on what we've seen today. It's early doors. What's your initial assessment, Jason, match day one of this Premier League campaign?
I've got to be honest, I was worried after last week, but I thought it was improved performance. Work in progress, but listen, tonight is all about the result, but there's plenty of time to iron things out.
What did you like about today, Tom? What encourages you, what excites you about what lies ahead?
Excited. At times, we can be absolutely a great watch. The boys, the way they zip it round and everything, Vert when he's on form, Ekitike when he's on form, you know, there's Mo when he's working, it looks great. It's just that at times we seem to be getting caught with the counter again, and I think we've got to rectify that sooner rather than later.
Gravenberch still to come into the equation, of course, and players to gel together, and that's encouraging. 4 goals today by a front line that hasn't really played together a lot.
Absolutely, you take it, of course, but the most important thing, and I said it, you know, when we come on air, you know, you can't lose or drop many points in this Premier League. And, you know, a 2-2, you're thinking, oh, you know, is that 2 points dropped? Is that an opportunity? But good, great teams, champions, they find a way of getting a winner. And Liverpool did that tonight.
And there's work to be done.
That is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back on Monday, the 25th of August, with post-match thoughts from the first away game of the new Premier League season. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Bye for now.